Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. So good to be back with you here today. Amen. Look, if I'm honest, I'm not actually in a cafe. I'm in my home office, but the sun is shining and I wish I was today. Amen. In one of those cafes where they have the patios. Well, I'm allergic, so I probably can't go out there, but they'd have windows to look out on the sun. Amen. But it's been a while, you know, been a while since I've been in an actual cafe, but we'll take this imaginary one and this very real Bible, and we'll study it up here in the cafe today. I've got a piece of Bible, I don't know, trivia for you. How many chapters are in the King James Bible? How many chapters? Does anybody know? Going once, going twice. Maybe someone yelled it out and I just can't hear you because you're far away and you're listening to this at a later date. But otherwise, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And if you divided that by 365 days, you only need to read about 4, if you will, 3 to 4 chapters a day. It'll get you through the whole Bible in a year. Some chapters can be very long, but most of them are not. So yeah, so just a good little prescription for you. I think the other day I was mentioning getting through the whole Bible and don't rush it. And on the other end of it, don't prolong it, you know, and say, oh, one day I'll read it. You know, there are just 1189, which sounds like a lot, but divided by 66 books, it's really not that many. And, you know, you can, again, if you read about 3 to 4 chapters a day, we'll call it 4, you would be done within a year. So that is something to think about. I do my Bible study in the morning and in the evening now. And so it helps to break it up because you don't want to lose your focus. And that's in addition to what we do for the program and so forth. But just generally reading through God's word, 4 chapters a day, you can do it. Amen. I'm rooting for you. And this is maybe this can count towards that. You know, maybe you are right there in Genesis. I know some people, especially at the start of the new year, that's how the Lord lined this program up, was to start the Bible study aspect, the chapter by chapter, verse by verse Bible study in the new year. So some people do it that way. Some people want to catch up, which, by the way, you can catch up anytime. So as I understand it, I think you can have up to 500 episodes of a podcast before they start kind of burying the episode somewhere. That's why we started a season 2 when we started this, because we had already had a year's worth. But for right now, at episode 88, 89, wherever we are, you can go back to episode 1 and you can listen through at your leisure. You can listen through every day. You can listen to a few a day, however you want to do it. Amen. But it's all there for you. Then when it gets buried by the podcast, no worries. I've got the archive on YouTube and on my to-do list, Lord willing. We're going to put them on some other websites too, some video host sites beyond YouTube, just to kind of have an archive there as well. So anytime you want to go through the Bible, and of course, it's not just this program. There's many other programs that you can go through the Bible, but hey, at the very least, we got this one going. So we are in Genesis 6, if you can believe it. I guess that's what got me to start talking about all this, is we're moving right through the Bible here. Here we are in Genesis 6, and we're going to cover the first 3 verses, and I could see us getting through Genesis 6 relatively quickly. So we're moving right through the Bible here. Genesis 6, and what we're going to do when we come back from this break, we're going to look at the first 3 verses, and we are going to look at some modern day history about how long people have lived. And in the very first book of the Bible, here in Genesis, God tells us how long people will live. I'm going to connect that thought right when we get back from this break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so let's read here Genesis 6, 1 through 3. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So Genesis 6, we're just going to stay with these first three verses, and we're just going to go through here one verse at a time. When was this? This was when men began to multiply. And so we think of a time frame here. We know about Cain and Abel, right? And then we know about later on the line of Seth, but in between there, we had the wicked line of Cain, right? And so we know that's around the time that men would multiply. So to me, this almost reads like when Cain and his children and children's children were developing that city, they were getting wicked. That's kind of how it reads to me, amen. But regardless, when was this? It was when men began to multiply, to procreate. It's interesting here because God told us to be fruitful and multiply. But with the sin curse applied to that idea of being fruitful and multiplying, bad things start happening because people start acting more and more wicked. And we're talking about the scope of hundreds of years, amen. This isn't overnight, but over the scope of hundreds of years, you're getting families and families and families. And it says here the daughters. So we see here in Genesis 6, latter part of verse 1, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Now, we're going to get to who the sons of God are, or who we think they are, in the next episode, because that's a big nugget to chew on right there. So we're going to get to that in detail in the next episode. But for time's sake, for organization's sake, we're going to stick with this right here. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose, okay? And so we see here, they took wives. So we see daughters, we see women, we see they're fair looking. They were very fair to look at. It means very beautiful. And we see beauty is kind of the bait here, right? Or beauty is the temptation. And we know that if you're talking about women, you're talking about women being married, you can bring into the picture procreation, this idea that now they are procreating, amen. And so we see here, they're bringing about children. These are very beautiful women with these, quote, sons of God, who we're going to see who they are. And we see that, as you understand the narrative of Noah, that sin is abounding more and more. It's not like the sons of God took these fair-looking women and they intermixed. That's kind of the assumption here, is there was some kind of intermingling from two different groups and that, oh, everything is going great, right? It's not, which also tells a little story that just because someone looks beautiful doesn't mean that their heart is right with God. Amen. Beauty can be deceiving. Amen. I've known some people that are very attractive individuals, and it doesn't mean that they are the best people in the world. And, you know, God looks upon the heart. Amen. And you'll see people that have been cast aside in this society, people that are deformed, people that are socially awkward, people that are whatever, and God loves them and their heart is great before God because they seek the Lord and they have a great relationship with them, with him, and they have that innocence about them, et cetera, et cetera. So beauty can be deceiving. Of course, we can pull that from this text as well. And then we see this idea of God giving a time for man, It's kind of like a history lesson. But before we want to get to that, I want to look at this idea of what happened here with the sons of God, okay? The sons of God, they get married to these women, right? And we see here, they took wives. So, you know, they took wives. Did the women have a say in it? I don't know. And to kind of give you a hint about the next episode, the sons of God aren't really good people, okay? We think they may be demons or fallen angels, if you will, right? But here we see in Luke 4, we see Jesus, he being led to the wilderness, tempted of the devil. And we're going to see a parallel here, and hopefully I can squeeze this in and get to all this. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right after he's baptized by John the Baptist here. Luke 4, 1, and Luke 4, 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days. Okay, remember that number 40. Tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, so here is the devil, he's brought by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of this devil. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So Jesus is both quoting the scripture as well as saying, this is what I do. I turn to the scripture. I'm not going to be tempted. Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. So now we see this supernatural event take place where the devil's able to show all the kingdoms in a moment of time. So this is obviously transcending our idea of what we would see as time. And he's tempting Jesus again, saying, I'm going to give you all these things, which is foolish because Jesus would have them anyways. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's see what it says here. And I will give it, verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, and that's what Satan wants is worship, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So again, Jesus is quoting scripture, saying he's going to worship the creator God, and that's the only one I'll serve, okay? Let's see, verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, again, supernatural stuff happening, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. So now Satan's quoting scripture. You think Satan doesn't know scripture? He's quoting it here. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So now Satan's appealing to the Lord's pride, saying, you know, get carried down here, let everyone worship you, expose yourself. And Jesus answered, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, capital S, into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region about. So this narrative is bookended by good things happening. Him being baptized by John the Baptist, God appearing as a dove descending from the sky. That's a good thing. A good thing going in the power of the Spirit, fame going out about him. That's a good thing. And bookended there in the middle is this temptation of the devil. And we see here that a temptation is occurring in the Old Testament times in Genesis before maybe these daughters, referred to in Genesis 6 as the sons, the daughters of men in 6:2, maybe they certainly didn't have this reference point. And so they fell into a temptation and fell into Satan's trap, the devil's trap. And it created a society, or it brought about a society that was even worse than it had already been. And it gets so bad, and this being at least one ingredient in how bad it is, that the Lord has to flood the earth to wipe them all out. It was that bad. And so we see here, we now have a resource. We now have God's holy word. We now have Luke chapter 4 and Jesus' true testimony of how to overcome temptation. What did Jesus do? 3 times he got into the word, and 3 times the devil was met with opposition he could not overcome, the devil himself. And all of that led to the devil fleeing and good things happening thereafter. And in fact, the very next verse explains that the angels came and ministered to him, to Jesus. Amen. And so we know that when we go to God's word, as we face temptation, that if we stay strong and fast in God's word, not only will these consequences of sin not abound in our lives, but that God will deliver us. The Bible tells us, you know, there's no temptation, but that's common to man. Amen. And that if we resist the devil, he will flee. And so people wonder, is there anything we can do to fight temptation in this life, in this time? And the answer is yes. Look at Luke 4. Look at what Christ was able to do through quoting the scripture, through turning to God. That is the one way to defeat the enemy. And we see here, we're going to see in the next episode, that the enemy had a very strong foothold on these daughters of men, which led to some very grave consequences that we're still dealing with here today. And so we have a lesson about what happened then and a lesson about what's happening today, that man is being tempted. You say, well, I'm in the ministry. Well, you'll be tempted twice as much. Okay. I don't feel the devil tempting me at all. Well, then you need to really check yourself, because if you're doing anything for the Lord, you're going to face opposition. Now, I did promise we would get to that age reference, and the age reference, I'm gonna give you some homework for tomorrow. See how many people that's claimed to live past 120 years. See how many people on earth that's claimed to live past 120 years. That's where we're going to get to on this next episode. So make sure you tune in for that. It's very fascinating. It's a little nugget buried in God's word. I never heard anything about it. And I preach this to our congregation, and it's true. God prophesies what is to come. Tune in next time. Thank you so much. Take care. God bless. Amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow same time, same place.